From KUAR News in Little Rock, this is a look at Arkansas news, politics, and more. Coming up,
Governor Hutchinson meets with Donald Trump after months of critical comments.
How they and other Arkansas officials reacted to the worst mass shooting in U.S. history.
The state's unemployment rate drops to its lowest level in recorded history. But how good is it? That and more on the economy.
And the debate on a $160 million expansion of Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville.
I'm Michael Heplin.
I'm Chris Hickey.
And I'm Jacob Kaufman.
For the week ending Friday, June 17th, 2016, this is KUAR's Weekend Review Podcast. It was only a few months ago, in February, when this was how Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson was describing Donald Trump.
I do not see his discussion of issues as serious. The words are frightening.
But this week, Chris, the governor, along with several other governors, traveled to New York to meet with Donald Trump on Tuesday. You were there when he spoke about it the next day. What did he have to say about the meeting?
Yeah, he spoke with reporters after a press conference on an unrelated issue. But yeah, as you said, Hutchinson has been pretty critical. But lately, since Trump has been apparently the eventual Republican nominee,
presumptive nominee,
Hutchinson has said he would support the eventual, you know, in presumptive nominee, which is Trump. So Hutchinson was among six governors who met with Trump in New York. This is a meeting orchestrated by Governor Bill Haslam of Tennessee. It also included Doug Ducey of Arizona, Governor Chris Christie, who's has endorsed Trump explicitly, Governor of New Jersey, Mary Phelan, Governor of Oklahoma, and Phil Bryant of Mississippi, who's also made an explicit endorsement of Trump. Those other governors have kind of just said things along the lines of Hutchinson in that they would just support the presumptive nominee. Hutchinson addressed this issue or this meeting and said basically, you know, they talked about how, you know, they've had disagreements in the past about certain things. But Hutchinson said he told Trump to expect disagreement within the party, to be willing to exchange ideas with party leaders, listen to them. And he said that, you know, he'd have to expect that in the convention coming up this summer. Here is Hutchinson. He commented on some matters he hopes the Trump campaign would consider seriously.
You know, I look at the policies and the direction that we will go. I think this election is very important. I think about the Supreme Court, just that for Arkansas, you know, who's going to appoint judges that's going to reflect more discretion to the states in terms of environmental protection, that's going to give us more flexibility in terms of our health care work and Medicaid and a block grant that I think is important for our state. And those are the big issues that we've got to keep a focus on this campaign.
And Hutchinson kind of commented that he noticed that the Trump campaign staff is rather a small team. But he kind of reiterated this idea that he hopes that the Trump campaign will take certain issues that these Republican governors hold seriously to be serious issues. You know, when asked if he would be a surrogate for Trump in the upcoming campaign this fall, Hutchinson kind of sidestepped that question, saying they'd take things one step at a time. There was a comment by Governor Bryant from Mississippi who told his news outlets that the other governors would serve as surrogates for the Trump campaign. But Hutchinson was like, well, those are not my words.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like Hutchinson has really been swayed here. It's just the same thing he said, even in that interview with NPR in February, that regardless, he would still support the party's eventual nominee.
Yeah, because in past comments, he's also said, well, I mean, I feel that, you know, no matter what, you know, this nominee is better than the other side, the Democratic ticket or any other ticket. So, you know, we just have to focus on winning in November because it'd be good for the party, he feels.
There are a couple of governors this week, though, that took a different tact, Republican governors. The Republican governor of Maryland this week said he's not going to endorse Donald Trump, for instance, and won't be voting for him.
Yeah, and even, I mean, you know, this, even though it's a group of governors, it's a relatively small group. I mean, you know, there are obviously 50 governors in the country, but this is, you know.
Either way, it's like a scenario years. That's not played out, you know, in decades and decades.
Right, yeah.
The idea that maybe a Republican governor wouldn't back a Republican presidential candidate, even that we're talking about Asa Hutchinson, you know, that he's not going to campaign for him openly or he's not full-throated about it is pretty unusual.
Yeah, the fact that this is news at all, that there would be, you know, pretty clear lines of disagreement. Like, for instance, you know, Trump's comments on a federal judge who's presiding over his case, a lawsuit on Trump University. Trump has said that, you know, he feels like this judge is biased due to his Mexican heritage. And, you know, that goes back to Trump's previous comments on, you know, immigrants from Mexico being, you know, rapists and murderers and so forth. So, and Hutchinson has recently, you know, explicitly criticized Trump for that and some other issues as well.
Well, this came just a couple of days after the terrorist attack in Orlando at a gay nightclub. Last report, 49 people killed, about that same number injured. Did this come up during the conversation?
Yeah, it did, and this was, you know, obviously only a couple days, this meeting, a couple days after this Orlando shooting. You know, Hutchinson was asked about, you know, Trump's renewed calls to ban Muslims from entering the country. And Hutchinson, this is another point of disagreement between them, said, you know, that he doesn't feel like a religious test, you know, is necessary or, you know, is appropriate. And he kind of referred to his own experience as an undersecretary of the Department of Homeland Security, saying, he has some expertise in this area. But he did say, Hutchinson said, that it would be appropriate to scrutinize people more who come from certain geographical regions of the world that have histories of extremism or terrorism.
That is appropriate. That's something that I did at Homeland Security and is certainly even more necessary today with the attacks that have taken place on our soil. And so he's got a long ways to go and be able to articulate this in exactly the right way. But I am convinced that he'll be able to build a team around him that will be able to address terrorism effectively. I think his heart's in the right direction. He knows we've got to do something. And I think he has the capacity to build the right team that will give him good answers.
Now, as I said previously, you know, Trump had renewed calls to ban Muslims from entering the country as a means of, you know, preventing terrorism in his policy. But he also strongly criticized President Obama this week. Obama had a response to the shooting in which he didn't use these words, radical Islamic terrorism. And this has been kind of a talking point of many Republicans and Trump in particular. He, the day after the shooting, he went on Fox and Friends and criticized the president. He criticized him on Twitter and in another speech earlier this week. Here's a little bit of President Obama's response to Trump's and other Republicans' criticism on this particular point.
The main contribution of some of my friends on the other side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. That's the key, they tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish? What exactly would it change? Would it make ISIL less committed to trying to kill Americans? Would it bring in more allies? Is there a military strategy that is served by this? The answer is none of the above. Calling a threat by a different name does not make it go away.
So this is an interesting thing because Hutchinson talked about this speech, and this was one of the few times I've actually really heard him defend Trump and, you know, his criticism, Trump's criticism of the president. And Hutchinson is responding to this.
I was a little bit puzzled by the president, President Obama, in talking about what difference does it make. Accuracy in language makes a difference. And radical terrorism, radical Islam, is an appropriate terminology. And for him to poke fun at somebody because they want to use accurate terminology strikes me as very odd. And it'll be interesting to see the role that he plays in the future campaign, whether it's really advocating for Hillary Clinton or whether it is more trying to protect his own legacy. So it'll be interesting to see the role that he plays.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting that, you know, Hutchinson seemed to almost defend Trump in that case. I haven't heard that too many times from him.
I think we should also – one of the other things Trump said that's kind of more outlandish was that he insinuated that the president might have been complicit in the terrorist attack somehow.
Or he had something else up his sleeve, I think is the mm-hmm. words he used in his interview with Fox News. But – yeah, I mean, Hutchinson didn't talk about that explicitly. It's certainly a departure from what we probably see as, the kind of stances of other presidential candidates. And, you know, Hutchinson actually was asked if, he thought that Trump was presidential, quote unquote. And, you know, Hutchinson kind of laughed and was like, well, what do we define as presidential? Somebody who gets elected president? I mean, if that, you know, and he kind of harkened back to like this, these shots of Jimmy Carter, who had carried his own clothes on his back, as like that in that day and age, like was not seen as presidential, quote unquote, because, somebody else carries your dry cleaning or whatever. I don't know.
Well, this came the same week as the legislature, the Arkansas Legislative Council, considered a measure that would allow Arkansas counselors to refer patients to another provider over religious objections. That is, if this was possibly gay or lesbian, the person could say, well, I don't want to actually counsel this patient, and I want to refer it to someone else. On Tuesday, the council endorsed a rule change that had been proposed by the Board of Examiners in Counseling. They oversee 2,800 regulators, as well as marriage and family therapists in the state. But on Friday, the council voted to return the rule to committee, and State Representative Andy Davis, co-chair of the subcommittee, said the move would allow for more discussion. He said he was surprised that this proved to be such a controversial measure. But you've had, of course, gay and lesbian patients say they worry that this could mean that they won't be treated fairly, and that this would be an easy way to allow them, providers, to avoid treating them. Any surprise?
It was surprising to me that it came up after, because we just had a national tragedy where 50 people were murdered because of their gender identity or their sexual orientation. So obviously, in particular, that community is going through all sorts of emotional grief. And then the Arkansas legislature, as if to be totally tone deaf to the situation, then tries to limit counseling available to that community specifically. I don't know where the origin of this came from. It was obviously, I think, thought up before the shooting happened. I don't think it was a direct response to it or anything like that. I think that's why Andy Davis pulled it, because in that context, it was a different reaction than he had thought. Obviously, the legislature has explored this issue with other things, with county clerks for marriage licenses and so forth, and trying to have birth control rights for certain pharmacists and things like that. So the idea of exploring religious exemptions is definitely popular in the Arkansas Republican Party. It seems like most places, because of federal law, that's not going to be able to happen.
And this has gotten a specific opposition from the American Counseling Association, a national group with oversight on this, as well as, no surprise here, the Human Rights Campaign, among others. But we'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, when it comes to the economy, things continue looking better and better for the state. We had a report come out on Friday. The monthly unemployment rate for May showed that it dropped a little more, down to 3.8%. That's a tenth of a percent lower than the previous month. And this is the lowest since records have been regularly kept in recent decades. Last month, it was hailed as good news. But this report here, I spoke with two different economists. First, Michael Pacco, chief economist at UALR's Institute for Economic Advancement. He said it may not be as good as this sounds.
We do have a very low participation rate. So while statistically the unemployment rate is at its lowest level since 1976, that doesn't necessarily mean that labor market conditions are better than they've ever been in Arkansas before. We do still have a lot of people who simply have dropped out of the labor force and don't appear to be looking for jobs right now.
But Kathy Deck, director of the University of Arkansas Center for Business and Economic Research in Fayetteville, said this still shows a very robust and improving economy.
When you look at the most recent numbers, say over the past year or so, what we've seen is Arkansans coming back into the labor force in record numbers. And so this is good news all the way around. It's because jobs are being created, people are being encouraged to come back, look for those jobs. So this is definitely a real number.
And she says a clear indication of the progress that has been made since the economic recession a few years back.
Well, we really do see job gains across the board, particularly in the services sectors. So both manufacturing and then, of course, the energy sector are suffering a bit. But everything else, from information services to education to trade, transportation, and utilities and construction, everything else is just doing great.
And she notes that the employment gains are spread evenly across the state to the different metropolitan areas, as well as non-metro-based in the rural areas. She said that these gains are being seen statewide. But, Jacob, it also comes the same week that Arkansas's gross domestic product grew a little more slowly than the national average. And you spoke with the same economists here. But what's the thought there and what this reflects?
Sure. Well, the general thought is that Arkansas kind of has a gradual but upward trajectory the past several years. One thing to keep in mind with this report is it's the fourth quarter report, so we have all four quarters for 2015. So while we have really good job numbers now that are besting the national average, we did not back in 2015. We're a little bit slower than the national average, at least for unemployment. Here's Michael Pacco, who you just introduced him for these unemployment numbers. I also spoke to him about this GDP report. And here's his take on it over the past 3 or 4 years.
Well, if you take a look at where the trends are heading in GDP, which is a very broad measure of economic activity, it looks like Arkansas is growing in the range of 1.5 to 2%, which is a good solid trend rate of growth. It's nothing exceptional, but it indicates a steady rate of growth over, say, the past 3 years.
And so for 2015, Arkansas's rate was 1.5%. That was lower than the past year, which was 2.1%, and the U.S. GDP growth for 2015 was around 2.24%. So Arkansas is a little bit behind the U.S., around the middle of the country or so, 27th or something like that. Here's Kathy Deck, though. She's relating that unemployment. If we look at unemployment this year, it looks good, but in a lot of ways, unemployment last year also mirrored the slower GDP growth.
What we saw with the 2015 numbers generally is that the state of Arkansas's economic activity grew just a little bit more slowly than the economic activity in the whole nation in 2015. And that's really consistent with some other measures of things that that we saw during that time period, including employment growth. We saw Arkansas growing, just not quite as quickly as the rest of the country. Now, the more recent data that we've looked at from an employment perspective in 2016 show that the Arkansas economy is accelerating, but the release today is still looking at the end of last year when Arkansas was just a little bit slower than the rest of the country.
So obviously other factors besides unemployment into the GDP, but with that in mind, that unemployment is good this year, we can expect next year's GDP report probably to be a little bit better. But a little bit of perspective, Arkansas's place in the world, while like a 1.5% GDP growth is pretty good compared to the rest of the world and other nations, it's not so bad. But within within the United States, our GDP is $124.8 billion, which is about 0.7% of the total United States gross domestic product. So we, of course, as we all know, play a very small role in the nation.
Yeah.
But there's some individual sectors I'll go through real quick. Agriculture was up 13.5% for the year. Utilities were down 8%. Manufacturing was about flat, which I think is important to keep in mind because we frequently cover press conferences from businesses and the governor saying that they're bringing manufacturing back. Well, the GDP, at least for 2015, was pretty much flat, a little bit of a decline in manufacturing. Information sector, we hear about coding and things like that too. It's a small sector, but it had a great fourth quarter, 14% or so rise. But overall for the year, it was still down. So those are some of the numbers.
Well, finally this week, the University of Arkansas Board of Trustees on Thursday approved a $160 million expansion of Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville. This prompted a lot of debate because these are primarily luxury seats. This also would include rebuilding part of the Broyles Athletic Center. But most of these new seats, a little more than 3,000, would be in luxury suites and clubs. And we had one person in particular, former U.S. Senator and Arkansas Governor David Pryor, who is on the UA Board of Trustees, really coming out vehemently against it in rather harsh language for the former senator, who really didn't think this was a good idea. Here's what he told me immediately after the vote that took place up near Petit Jean Mountain.
Well, I will be the first to admit that if we want a bond issue to lower tuition or to do something about scholarships, or if we want to build new classrooms or dormitories or chemistry labs, count me in. I'm going to try to help in any way I can there. However, I don't think our priorities right now should be going to a football stadium that's used 6 days a year, and this will be for the wealthiest of our population who can afford these, what you might call the plush new seats in the stadium. There will be not one new student seat, not one new general admission seat, and this is a project that is going to add about 3,000 seats to the stadium. And I don't think we're getting much bang for our buck out of that. In addition to this, we've always said that this university is about students. But I don't think students came first in this. And I think students actually are not going to benefit from this. Not one student of the 26,000 and some odd students in Fayetteville has ever contacted me in support of this massive bond issue and going in debt for just 3,000 extra seats. Then they said, well, it's going to help recruitment. I said, well, you take a young man 18 years old from Crossett or Camden or Mayflower or wherever it might be coming up to Fayetteville, and he looks up at the stadium and says, well, we've got only 72,000 versus 75,000 seats. I don't think they care about that. And I just think this is the wrong thing to do at this time. But it's passed. It passed 8-2. And eventually in the next board meeting, perhaps, or one of the board meetings coming up, we will have to actually vote to issue the bonds for this project.
Now, backers of the proposal called it vital for the future of the university. As Pryor said there, say it's a key to recruitment. The backers also said that this money will be made back through donations and ticket revenue, but just a growing difference between academia and athletics at what we see it being debated at universities across the country, as well as here in Arkansas, where often you do have the highest paid person at a university being the coach. But this was approved by an 8-2 vote.
And also in that board meeting, they gave the coach, as you mentioned, another raise, and I think maybe about 10 other athletic officials, offensive line coaches, all down the line.
Well, with that, we'll wrap up this week's podcast. for the week ending Friday, June 17th, 2016. I'm Michael Heplin.
I'm Chris Hickey.
And I'm Jacob Kaufman.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. KUAR is an editorially independent service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. Our theme song is by our own Chris Hickey.